So my name is Meir Mendelovich, and with me here is Tigran Shabazdian. And we are both PMs working on OMS. And we would show you how we can get up and running with OMS security in less than an hour. So actually, the name that I like for this session is moving from zero to security hero in less than an hour. So this, see, this folks is like the average IT guy, and they tell him that it's not enough that you take care of setting up servers and helping this application and all that stuff. Now his manager told him that he also needs to take care of security. Who loves to do security? I see few, but... So we had this team for about a year in the product called From Zero to Security Hero in less than an hour. And when we started to plan Ignite, I said, hey, we need to do this on stage. Now, everyone I told him about that, they thought I'm crazy. They said, hey, Meir, the demo gods are never with you, and nothing always work, but I want to try it. So with about 700 people, for our best friends here in the audience, I hope that everything would run fine, and we would show you that you can go with OMS security from nothing to have everything in less than an hour. We would start by the short introduction of OMS security, and then we would go through that. So the main reasons that we have introduction here is because I said under an hour, and the session is 75 minutes, so we need to drag this 15 minutes to do something. So just to keep you in context, and again, we have a full hour session, full 75 minutes of this that you can watch recorded if you're not, so I would go very briefly. OMS security is a security solution on top of OMS that is doing that, having three pillars. One pillar is the collection of the security data. The second pillar is about analyzing and visualizing the security data. And the third pillar is giving you real insights about that. Now, when we look at security solutions, they're usually super heavy. When you're getting someone tells you to do a security solution and to have all this kind of stuff, it's a project that takes months. And it's usually silo, so you don't have it together with the operation. We believe that we need to make it quick. We need to make it accessible for everyone. And we need to put it in the same place with the operation data. So let's see what we are doing. First of all, we are collecting the logs. We are collecting as much logs as we can from the server that brings valuable security data. So we collect stuff like the security events, and we collect AppLocker logs. We collect Windows firewall logs, and all the stuff that contains the really interesting data. To do all of that, you don't need to install a couple of things. You just put the agent as I would show it to you. Another thing that I would not be able to show you today is CEF, Common Event Format. This is a very standard way to get all logs from all your security, solutions into OMS as well. So you can have in one place your firewall, your IDS, your WAF, your servers, all in one place. So if you want to troubleshoot something, you have all the logs up to you. All your data is accessible in a second. We have out of the box four assessments. One assessing your status of the updates, another one for anti-malware, security configuration baseline, because many times wrong configuration can lead to disastrous sequence results in having your machine hackable, and showing you the identity of who is accessing your servers. Another thing that we are bringing is threat intelligence. We will show you this in action. Now, threat intelligence used to be this very expensive thing that like two people in the company having, and if you want to integrate that into the product, it's super difficult and you need to go through coding and all these things. Now, we believe it should be super accessible. What is threat intelligence? Threat intelligence basically is a feed that has a list of IP addresses that are known to be malicious. There are several techniques, and there are several companies that all they do is to mine the internet and to find these IP addresses, these hash files, and all this stuff. But if you just look at the feed, it's really useless because it has just a list of IP addresses. What would you do with that? It is becoming very valuable when we cross-correlate it with your data, and we would show it to you how this is working in real life. Another thing that we also would show you in action is the advanced detection analytics. Now, if you say, I want to deploy, if you type on your favorite search engine, I use Bing, by the way, if you type, I want to deploy a security product, most chances the result you would get is a list of rules. Check if Event ID X contains that. If Event ID Y has this pattern of file name, if Event ID, it's endless. And guess what? These rules keep changing. Why they keep changing? Because the adversaries, the attackers keep changing and add new stuff. Now, because we deliver this as a service, keep this update, and we'll keep this fresh up to you. We scan every new hack that is published, and we update our patterns to match that. So enough talking. Let's meet our guy. You see, he's very furious. He got the task to do security, and he need to get it to his company. So meet Contoso 99. Now, it's not that I used all the numbers until 99. I just think that it's easy to remember. So this guy has servers on-prem, in Azure, in AWS. Now, the way that I generate a lot of servers is using the SharePoint farm topology in Azure, so that you would see that. But we also have two servers that would mimic on-prem that doesn't sit on Azure. And then we have both Windows and Linux. And you know, this guy is not really a Linux expert, just like me. But he wants to secure Linux because he has Linux in his data center. And you know, security is always about the weakest link. So if you create the amazing security solution that solves Windows, it doesn't matter if your Linux servers are 5 years old and haven't been patched since. We want to be able to measure that as well. So here is the topology that I would show today. We would have the SharePoint farm and the Linux server on Azure, and we have two servers with the lovely name Linux SRV and Windows Server that would be on-prem. So how much time would it take you to deploy security solution for that? Less than an hour, yeah. So you actually can start and time me right now. So what we will do, there is the full step of what I'm doing. It would be available for you in the slides. You would also have the recording of this session if you want to repeat. Everything I do here is accessible by everyone. Don't bother memorizing it right now. You would have it written. So I would switch to my laptop. Okay. Here we go. This one? Oh, now we are. Okay, so here is my Azure dashboard. How I start to do that. Now, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the classic OMS portal, but we now have stuff in Ibiza. So we can start do plus, and we start to do security. Security, compliance. And I'm searching for in the marketplace for security and compliance. And now I see this file. So this is the security and compliance solution, and we would create it right now. Okay. So you see, out of the box, I get, as part of the security and compliance solution, I get anti-malware assessment, and I get security and audit. We would soon also have Azure Security Center bundled into this one. So I need to select OMS Workspace. OMS Workspace is actually the workspace that contains the data, but it's not just a storage. You can look at it as a storage, but it's a very, very smart storage underneath. So I have all the other workspaces that I own, but I would create one for here, so I would call it Contoso
So, 99. I would change the subscription a second. And let's call it C99 demo.
Now, we have four locations. I would choose East US. And I would keep the pricing tier free. And this is important to note, that you can start free and then grow up as much as you want. So I would click on OK. It would validate that, do all the hacking. Now, it is important to note that all the stuff that you deal with the on-prem, where you go and purchase hardware and wires networks together and make everything working, find a place in the data center, this happens now. So it's not that this problem disappears in the cloud. It's just our to take care of. So we would wait for that to validate. Second. Another second. OK. And we are good to go. Let's create the security. On top of that, et voila, we have a workspace with the security solution on top of that. So we just refresh a second. So the next thing after I create the workspace is to make sure that I have data on that to connect my machines. Now, the magic of the cloud is that we can do, what's going on? Here it is. So we can do a lot of cool stuff in the cloud, like connecting virtual machines in the cloud is super easy. I just go here to virtual machines. I would select the resource group that has my cloud machines. Here they are. And I just click on them like that and click connect. We are going to make this even easier than that, but right now you just go one by one, and press connect. You can automate that, by the way. Now, look at this. This is a Linux box. All I need to do is click on the connect, and I have the agent there. I remind you guys, I'm not a Linux guy. Are there Linux guys here? Oh, few. We encourage diversity here in Microsoft, and I think I know what you guys are thinking. This is way too easy for us. We don't like easy solutions where you just click on stuff. We want the hardcore. So I promise you, bear with me for several minutes. I will show you a lot of commands in white and black. Just bear with me a second. So I would connect the other machines as well. No, it's all out of love. It's all out of love. So I have all my machines connecting to the workspace. Now, this is not enough. This is just cloud resources. And I said to you, we are for hybrid. We are for on-prem, for cloud, for other clouds, whatever you want to use. So to do that, you go through Quick Start, and you have computers. And then you have this tiny but useful blade here. Here it is, Direct Agent, where you can install stuff. Now, I don't mention there is a way to get your SCOM deployments out there. So if you have SCOM deployment, it is super easy process on your SCOM server to direct it to OMS. We actually saw customers that went from 0 to 3,000 servers in less than a day just by instructing their SCOM to connect to OMS. So this is very easy. But let's say you're not SCOM and you want to connect. So here you can download the agents. And you also have the authentication details. So I promised you Linux screens. So I go to PuTTY. I hope that I would type everything correctly. So I have CAD. Here is my administrator. Here we go. Now, we have for Linux, if you click on that link, Agent for Linux, you get to our GitHub page, where you actually have the full source code and, of course, everything you want about our Linux data. Our agent is actually a is FluentD that has its own plugins. So if you go here, you can see a very quick install script. So I would just copy paste it because, again, I'm very bad in typing commands. Oh, I think I downloaded the agent. I would validate the SHA. And now I would install the thing. I would do sudo and all of this. But just installing it's not good enough. We want to connect it to our workspace. Now, if we would let anyone on the internet connect to the workspace, you would suddenly have inside your workspace a lot of stuff that is not yours and would just distract you. This is why we have two-way authentication. We authenticate the client, the agent authenticate the server, the OMS service, but the OMS service also authenticate the client. To initiate this, we need to provide to the agent two things. One is the workspace ID. That's the identification of your workspace. I would copy paste it here. And the second thing, I would need the key. The key is actually the secret key that proves that this is me. So here I am, that's it. Nothing more. We don't need the session anymore. Nice? Linux guys, you are okay? Okay. So for all of you that love Windows and like to click on things, I downloaded the 64-bit Windows client. We'd run it. If it looks familiar to you, yes, it is the same thing as the SCOM agent. But when you install it, we ask you where you want to connect it to. We say OMS. And then again, I need to type these two parameters, the workspace ID and the key. Now, if you wonder, there is also an opportunity to install that on machines that doesn't have connectivity to the internet. We saw in many cases where you have hardened environments, the servers doesn't have any connectivity to the internet. So you want a proxy or some kind of a jump box that would get you through. This is where you take care of that. So let's just click next, 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 install, and here we go. Now, for a sec. So meanwhile, now it's done, yeah? I can show it to you. But before we do this, I want to play a little bit and show you some interesting stuff. Let's attack the machine. If we don't have interesting stuff, it's not good enough. So let's say I have an attacker that got an access to my machine, but not as an admin. And this attacker wants to get admin rights. So one way is to put on the desktop an executable called myEvilRootKit and hope that the administrator would click on that. Chances? Not so much. So a much better way to do that is let's call it troubleshoot.pdf. Let's capitalize the PDF, click on that. Now, this is just an exe that I created, by the way. It's not really a PDF. It's not really a rootkit. And I click that. Nothing happened. It looks just popping up another window process. This is definitely a malicious, yes? Now, how many of us would be tricked into this thing? So let's say someone gets this into the desktop, and the icon here looks like PDF, because they actually done some work and tried to make this a PDF. But this is not a PDF, of course. So now my machine is infected, and the person that is running have admin rights. They can run whatever they want. So this is it. Let's see that everything is working fine. So we'd go here. We'd go to the security solution. Demogods, please, please. I Oh, I have servers already reporting data. Okay, let's see what data I have. So keep in mind, this is like 5 minutes of data, not much. We just take a snapshot of the servers. And again, when I'm doing this, when we rehearse this, we don't know what it would show up here, because this is just 5 minutes of servers. And I already have data. And I already have huge amounts of data. So let's look at that. So I have the anti-malware assessments up and running on 6 machines. We would have it soon for all machines. I already have identity and access data. How I come, I have identity and access. No one logged in. Any guess? Look how many people tried. You see, in 5 minutes, I had failed login attempts for someone called administrator and someone called admin. Who is it? So let me tell you a secret. There are a lot of hackers that scans the internet. They do port scanning in large scale. It's pretty easy to do today. How they are doing that, you guess? They are taking over a machine of someone else and running the port scan from there. So we see it all the time, all the time. Machines are being hacked and then used to port scan the entire internet. Now, when they see an RDP port open, they immediately start to log in, start to use admin or administrator. This is why Azure, when you start a new VM or any template, would actually won't allow you to define admin that is called admin or administrator. So if you want the best practice to make sure that your servers are not hacked, don't put admin or administrators. By the way, on this server, I deliberately went and put admin administrator so we would have some interesting data. And now I can see the failed logins. I can see which servers. You see, we now have data also from our on-prem servers here. So quite a lot. Now, we have notable issues here. Let's see, computer with insufficient protection because I didn't install anti-malware, bad on me. And we have the failed to login. And this is just like a few minutes. Let's see if we have more data. You see, we get even more failed logins happening as we speak. Baseline is also super cool. Who here try to evaluate machines if they comply with Microsoft baseline? Yeah, it's really big pain to do that, right? You need to run all these scripts and download all these tools from 10 years ago. Yeah, so we make it super easy. What we do here, we have a piece of code inside the agent that is evaluating all the best practice that we have that we call baseline for security. And we are showing this to you. Now, I would tell you, I have ever seen machines that have 100%, okay? So 46% is actually okay. We've seen a lot of cases where we saw machines with 20%, 30%. Now, what you want to do here is just to evaluate it. So if I click on a rule, so I can see that that this Windows firewall setting is now not available on 5 of my machines. This is really bad for me. I can read here all the details. I can see where this rule is coming for, what is the registry key, and what I need to learn more to configure it correctly. And this is all took us how much time? Someone taking the time? Yeah. So let's see what we can. The last thing I want to show here before we would switch to another workspace that have much more data is how you search the entire thing. So if in the past you had your grabs and you have your file searches and all these solutions that were very expensive, now you can run these queries. Now, the simplest query you can is star. Star brings all the security records that you have, all the records that you have on your workspace. So remember, this is a workspace we created about 10 minutes ago. So in 10 minutes ago, we now have 9,000 records in the workspace. And we can see security events. These are the Windows security events. We have the baseline assessment. We have performance counter that shows us the machines. We have heartbeat of the agent that tells us that the agent is running fine. And we have protection status that shows us what's the anti-malware protection out there. And we also already have the syslog data pouring in. So all of this in 10 minutes. And the beauty of this, because it's a cloud, you can scale to infinity. And Tigran will later show you a tenant that have a lot of data in that. And of course, you can start and play with that. So let's look for my user, the Cadmin user. Let's see if this user was doing something. And I can see that Cadmin is actually pretty active. It logged into all these machines because it has this script that is running. Another cool thing that you need to do, and everyone that installs it really likes, is the fact that you search to see what executables are running on your machines. So now you have all this information that in the past was so hard to get at your fingertips. So I would look for type equals security event. And now I would look for event ID 4688. Now, if you don't remember which event is what, you can just not type it here. Instead, you go, you search for all security records. And here you can see, small thing. So let's type event ID 4688. Now, event ID 4688 collects every execution of a process on your servers. And this is super valuable data in security. So I can look here. I can see which process was executed here. You see process W3 WPE. But let's look at an aggregated view across all my servers. So I'm clicking here. I do group by process. And now I have a list of all processes executed across all my machines in the last 10 minutes. You see, I have 23 executables in the last 10 minutes. And if you click on them, you can actually see the details. So if I want to see this PowerShell, I can now go inside, and I can actually see the command line here. So if I look inside, you see the command line right here. Okay? So you have amazing visibility. All the security data is at your fingertips, and you can play with that as much as you want. So let's see how all of this is working. Let's see how the magic is done. So we start with the on-prem environment or the public cloud that you have. And again, we support any, you can put the agent on, you can install it on every VM, on every cloud that you want. And you can start with the direct agent. This is what I showed you, that I just go and install the direct engine. Or you can use your SCOM server and have the SCOM agent. They are basically the same agent. They are both running the code that we produced called management pack, security management packs. This is the code that collects the events. This is the piece of code that is performing this evaluation and take all this data up to the cloud. Now, all of these connections are two-way authenticated using certificates. That's the most secure technology you can have. The client authenticates the server, and the server authenticates the client. Now, you see, I didn't deal with all of this, but it happened underneath the hood. So we took care about all of the stuff. Another stuff that you may be worried about is how I update this thing. Because, you know, installing agents might be easy, but then someone needs to update it. And we are keeping care of that. So every time there is a new functionality, a new management pack, we just push it through to the agents. You don't need to take care about updating the agents, upgrading them, changing anything. It's there, and it's there for you. Another thing you can do, I mentioned the Ceph records and the syslog ingestion. So if you want to connect all these boxes that you have on-prem that are doing security, the firewall, the IDS, the WAF, you tell them to redirect their syslog feed using Ceph format to one of the Linux boxes. And then on the Linux boxes, you enable this syslog feed to the OMS agent. We have this instruction that are pretty easy. Even a guy like me can configure it. And from that point on, you have all your records up there. We are also able to collect data directly from Azure and Office 365. So we are doing cloud to cloud. We don't require you to have a server that would download it from Office 365 and then upload it to the cloud. We have this done at the background. Now we take all these logs. What are we doing with them? We are getting this into a huge pipe. We call this normalization and enrichment. It's the ingestion pipe of OMS. Now again, if you ever try to deploy something like that, you know how complex it is, how compute intensive it is, and it is. So across the four regions, we have several thousands of servers that are running this. And they are working pretty hard. So we told you today in an earlier session that we have 20 petabytes of data. So this pipe is taking care about a lot of data. Now, the developers can talk about this pipe for hours because it's really a piece of art what they've done there. We take the records and we normalize them and we make them searchable. So the fact that you have the security event break into with all the properties so nicely tied, that requires some work. And this is done here in the normalization and ingestion. Another thing we are doing here, we are also enriching the records. We are adding data to them. So this is where we take the threat intelligence feed and we enrich the record. So you don't have this feed and you have your record, but you have your record, and within this record you have the threat intelligence data that is relevant for this specific record. We will show you this in action soon. And then in some cases we are also adding geographical data. So we do the IP to geo logic on top of that. And we do, by the way, a lot more behind the scenes to make sure that this data looks nice. Then we take all this data and we put it in the workspace storage account. We take care about all of this. So once you open a workspace, you don't need to take care about like the location and redundancy and all the stuff. We take care of that. We also encrypt that with the strongest possible encryption. There is good article on our TechNet that explains how it is done. And from this database, but before we do that, we do another small thing. We are also forking the data, and we are getting this through the engine. Remember these patterns that we are evaluating? We cannot do this in this pipe, because this pipe needs to process huge amounts of data. So what we are doing, we are diverting it to the detection engine, and then we can do much more sophisticated things. So an example for the stuff that we are being able to do there is we look for, just to show you brute force attempts, it's useless, right? Because every time you put a machine on the internet, you get brute force login attempts. But you want something interesting. What you want, for example, you want to see if someone had failed logins and then suddenly they have successful login. Now that requires you to correlate data over time. That requires you to do something smarter than just like, if this record have this, let's do that. And this is what we're doing in the detection engine. It's actually also a pretty big thing running on a lot of machines. So the data is yours. We don't own this. We just store it for you. And we have a set of APIs that allow you to do two things. One is to pull data from your storage and to read it from all your systems. So if you want to integrate it with your existing system, this is where you do. And it also allows you to submit the data to the storage. So you can store whatever you want. I talked to a company that took the physical access data. So every time any employee is getting through a door and they swipe their badge, they have syslog environment, and then they go there and with the APIs they upload the data. So now when they see that someone logs into a server, they can also see where physically this guy is. Now, on top of that, we have set of tools that are all using a query. So the queries that I showed you, this string, like type equals security event, process name equals PowerShell.exe, all these queries are used to layer on top of them the web function, the web UI, the mobile UI that Tigran would show you in a second. That's also the same mechanism that you're using to get alerts, because alerts, in a sense, are queries that we execute on the background and keep them up and running. And we allow you also, using this UI, also to export it to CSV file and to Power BI. So now you are a hero. And Tigran would come on stage and would show you how the day of a hero look alike, because this tenant doesn't have enough data to show you that. So Tigran, while you get on stage, let's see how much data we get on our tenant. Let's refresh that. So we have additional logins. And let's see how many records we have. We have 15K records already. So Tigran, to you. Number 8.
Thank you.
No, that's
actually,
me.
Actually, I need number 6, I guess.
6. Here you go.
Thank you, Mayor. Hi, everyone. My name is Tigran. I'm a program manager at OMS, working with Mayor on security, but also I'm responsible for multiple components in OMS, because I'm on OMS team working on the platform. One of the things I'm responsible is integration with Azure portal. And today I'm going to show you really the day of the security hero, even though Mayor did a lot of cool stuff already. You have seen that within less than 25 minutes, we already getting a lot of data. But I have an environment where I created environment about 7 days ago, a little bit more, and I have much more data there. And now I would like to show you what I have there and how we can analyze the data. So I'm opening the security solution in my Azure portal extension. So what actually I will see here is basically same dashboard or overview what you have seen with Mayor, but with a little bit more data. And first column is basically what we see here. It's called security domain. But actually what it is, it's giving you ability to assess your environment and assess your security posture at a glance. So what it means that when we collecting all security artifacts, all security events, and putting everything in one single location, one of the key things we can enable is not only ability to understand what's going on and who did what, but as part of it, we are getting also luxury of auditing functionality as well, because we can go back in time and figure out what else happened like 2 years ago. And retention here at OMS, it's not a problem. By default, you're getting like with I think the retention in the starting at this point, that free tier is 7 days, but you can increase and then go back as much as you want. So when you're looking at your security posture, first of all, you would like to know what's going on and how much are you secure from security perspective. So anti-malware assessment may show you that immediately, as soon as you install, it does a scanning of your computer, and it's detecting how many computers are protected, how many computers are not protected, and which protection is exactly have on each and every computer. For example, this guy says, what type of protection do you have? This guy says how many is not reporting out of all computers, so not protected. So this is giving you an ability to go and try to bring your security posture to better level and install your protection mechanism. But in addition, it also will give you all detected threats. So reason why we are showing the detected threats here, the detected threats, because some of those threats, this one is actually not real, I generated it, but as soon as the threat is detected, in some Mac systems, you would like to go and check, because if you had a quarantined item, maybe the time that, by the time that you detected and then did a quarantine, it already created a harm, because sometimes malware, when it gets to the computer, it can create another process, can create another malicious activities, and only then your anti-malware client can detect that. In most of the cases also, anti-malware client cannot detect something that is just emerging threats, it's just brand new. However, I will show you how OMS capable with some of the detection rules we have, capable to detect something that emerging threat that yet not defined in anti-malware clients and basically not yet detected with this mechanism. In this column, I see all computers that has been, some threat has been detected on them. And as you have seen on the previous, section of this mayor show, any click on the UI you click, it takes you to the powerful search, which is empowering each and every visualization here. But for the sake, I will go back and I will show you that another solution, which basically helps us to assess your security posture, is as update assessment. An update assessment is basically not enabled by default, it's additional solution. When Mayer enabled, that particular tile that what my mouse is pointing on was blue, it was telling that add update assessment. And reason why update assessment is very important, because when you have unpatched machines or a machine that is lacking security patches, you right there you have some security backdoors or holes. And if you would like to stay on top of the things and then make sure that your security level is up to date, so you better to patch them on time. So
yeah, we cannot go with the demo goods. Without,
yeah. So sometimes it happened. I'll try again in a bit. So 1 second. So when update assessment will load, it will show you so this guy will, after refresh, will reload. But this actually, what it does, it tells me how many computers doesn't have updates, not only Windows, but I have a Linux computer also. And also, I can look at that from different perspective. I can say how many security updates are missing. And if I will click on this security updates, this will give me another result of search, which will tell me that on which computers this set of security patches are missing. Let's see here. So what are those security patches? I see 86 security patches are missing in my monitored environment. But in this particular case, I would like to also understand which computers are there, so I can drill down, select one patch, and understand basically which computers are missing it, and then plan my mitigation actions from here. So we have a visualization on top of search. This visualization, for example, showing you how many missing, you can see it's only one computer is missing this update, so I'm in a good shape. Really, if I have like bigger number then basically I have a lot of security holes. Now, what I can do here, I'm going back. So that solution in particular gives you ability not only identify which computers are not patched, but also OMS comes with another component called automation. And automation can help you mitigate the issues, and you can schedule your installation of your patches. And I will show you close to the end how you can do it as well. But so In security posture view, there are multiple aspects, multiple ways you can look at your security. We have a network security, which is taking all threat intelligence that Mayer mentioned, and it will give you exactly details like how much data is being sent. Let me click and show you. How many IP addresses distinctly has been accessed, and everything for your disposal will be in this view. In fact, that if I have any malicious communication from or to my monitored environment, I have good representation here. In fact, if everything trying to come in, like from malicious, then in most of the cases, maybe it's okay, because I'll tell you why it's maybe okay, because everyone is trying to scan your open ports. If OMS detected case when someone is trying to enter from malicious IP address, not necessarily they made through the connection and they entered your computer. However, when you have an outgoing communication from your monitoring environment to malicious IP address, then it's really big red flag. It means that someone is really stealing some data from you.
Yeah, it's important to note that some of this is still in preview with the network logs. So the workspace that Tigran showed you was enabled for that. So if you want to see this entire thing, you need in the coming month also to ask for us to enable that.
Perfect. And now, what I would like to show from this network security, I'm jumping to threat intelligence because I just mentioned that. The threat intelligence view here will give a big number for number of servers that sending data out to outgoing malicious IP address. Not only this guy will show that you can click and drill down and understand what are those exact two computers. In addition to that, you have a map view, that which I will show you in a bit. Okay, while this loading, and the beauty of the being in Azure portal, while it's loading, I can scroll and then analyze my other screens.
I think all these guys want to show this video to the manager to get a surface pro like you have.
Okay.
So this.
Sure.
Yes. Repeat the question.
Oh, so the question is like, when we do update assessment, what is the baseline behind this, behind that? And the answer for that, so we are analyzing different technologies, like if you have Windows Update or if your update going through Mu and what's the next second? The second? SSCM, sorry, yeah. So, thank you. So, we are analyzing that what Microsoft defined that for each and operating system supposed to be the level of updates, and we're taking that data and we're comparing the each and every computer what you have with that baseline. So we got the feedback from some of the customers, they would like to exclude some of them, so this is one of the things that we may address, and we have got a lot of ask for that. So this is kind of like on the roadmap, and we will be able to give you full control if you would like to add or remove some requirements to that. And so when I was loading this, so basically I saw that there's two computers are sending data outside to malicious IP address. And one of the nice thing here on the map, I can just click those red lines with red icons with arrow up means like outgoing communication. I can click on each of them and I can see to which country my data from my monitored environment is being sent. In fact, that the third one is going to Turkey and another to Japan.
Now, and there is absolutely no reason you would have data servers in your data center that sends data to botnet. There are lots of reasons why botnet might attack your servers. But outgoing, this is a big flagging red light. And we know that most of you doesn't have that, because I hope that most of you doesn't have acting malware within their environment. But this is usually a very, very strong sign that something fundamental is wrong in your environment.
And what I can do with my security posture view, I have a threat intelligence drill down, which will help me to understand more details about all malicious information, malicious data, whether it's sending out or in. So the same map available here, we have a list of countries that involved in that. And then I can click each and every one here and get additional contextual data about them. For example, this is exactly IP that the 19 communication packets going in last 24 hours to this IP address. And there was two incoming, so most likely those incoming communications said what to do, like it's a commander control or something like that. And then there was some outgoing traffic. And also I have a confidence level. It's 100% confidence that is member of botnet, and this is a type, it is botnet, and it's in Japan. So this is one of the things that you can see here. And the nice thing about it, not only you can identify things like that, but also we can provide you ability to notify you when something like that happens. In fact, I have a screenshot here, just a second, a screenshot of day zero, when first time when you enable your security solution and enter to your created environment, then additional thing appears saying recommended alerts. And this recommended alert is this is like initial set of alerts that we think that it's maybe interesting for you. And what will happen if you will agree with that and you will click OK, that we will start notifying you when there's something like that happens. And there's not only that particular notification, there are some additional notification also included in this list. Now, I would like to continue my demo here. So you can ask, like, I have a security posture view. I'm so busy. I have so many tasks on my plate. I don't have time to go and check every time. So notification is one of the things that we enable. But also, you can ask, but I don't sometimes have a knowledge to understand what I'm looking for, because there's tremendous amount of data of security artifacts flowing in one location. To make sense out of this data, you really need a help. And in order to provide help for you, we created the notable issues. And notable issues here is a set of detections or rules that we created by partnering with multiple security teams inside of Microsoft and also external to come up with help that will help you to detect and prioritize the list of those detections in such a way that if you have some time to, basically if you also enabled notification, and notification can tell you there's something critical happens, you can always come here and then understand what type of issues are happening in your environment. For example, I mentioned secure detection ahead of anti-malware client. And we have a rule that is looking for suspicious executables. And this rule, why it's like the severity is warning only, because we don't know whether it's suspicious or not, but the rule is running and it's looking for unsigned rare occurrence, unsigned files, executable files, that is, there is a rare occurrence across your organization. What it means unsigned, it means that there is no big company behind that they're not signed, that like if any software that comes from Adobe will have an Adobe signature, same from Microsoft. But if you have an executable which is unsigned, it means like either your developer creates some tool, which is, it's good to know about it, but it's not a red flag, but it can be also an emerging threat. And in this particular case, I would like to click on this suspicious executable, and it will give me search result, which initially, what it is a hash code of the file. But we found the unique files. And this is yet not interesting, because when I click on that, and my next search query will return me the exact name of that executable. And you can see SVC host here, and it seems legal, right? But when you look at that, and it turns out that pass that SVC host is running is not Windows 32, it's completely different. It's updata, which is like giving you red flag. And not only that, the signature of the file is empty. FQBN is completely empty. So this is very suspicious thing. But you can say, well, you know, like what I'm doing, like if I have situations like that, right? So there, we always give you ability to create an alert on top of it. And for example, if you would like to find all malicious SVC hosts or all malicious detections when you see something like that and you get alert, all you need to do, you click alert here and you can configure this alert. And here is the beauty of this particular tool here. So you can give SVC host some name, suspect, something, and you can say some description, and you can say how frequently you would like to run this check. And if result is greater than zero, right, what you can do, you can send an email to me in this particular case. Actually, I'm in the by default edit, alert. And then the one additional thing you get with that, you can enable a webhook, which will create a ticket in your third-party ticketing system. Let's say you have a ServiceNow, a Slack, or you know, Zendesk, whatever you use, you can just with one configuration by copy-paste the URL, and you can have also some payload in the JSON, sorry, here. You can just add that, and then once this alert will be triggered, it not only will generate alert and will capture in OMS, but also the ticket will appear in your environment. Now, there is a runbook, which is an automation runbook. It's, as I mentioned earlier, it's part of OMS. You also can trigger an automation mitigation step for that. And for example, if you detected this particular suspicious file, so you can trigger automation, which will go and remove it or will do some action for that. But in some cases, let me cancel this rule for now. Okay. So in most of the cases, some of the rules that you create, right, you would like to not only have out of band the notification, but you would like to include in your dashboard, and you would like to, as part of your notable issues, extend the set of rules and have whatever you just created, the save alert or save search or whatever you can do, you would like to have it here. So in order to do that, we also have an easy way for you. So what I will show you, I'm going to the dashboard. I have a log search entry, which I can go at any time, not necessarily from security dashboard. And one of my saved search query is I created earlier. It's looking for obfuscated system executable. This is a long query, but this is detection that we came up with internal team, and we're testing right now. We yet not included as part of the old notable issues. This is actually detecting all system executables. That is, for example, like a command line cmd.exe, which is basically was replaced by another executable. And I'll show you, demonstrate you a case. And for example, this particular PowerShell command is actually, I will show you something here. One second. So This PowerShell.exe, what it happens? So if I'm looking at the details of this PowerShell, so you can see that actually this particular guy is running under PowerShell System 32, but in reality, and it's signed by Microsoft, but in reality, the content of this is supposed to be something else, and it's not matching that. So the name of the executable and the signature that it's supposed to be, that there's a no match there, and that's why it's like triggered. Now, what I can do, I can save this search query and say, obfuscated executables. And then, in order to include in the my detection rules, I can just, let's say it's a critical, I will type in critical, and then it will find a category which will be called security critical notable issues. And as soon as I will save this guy, what will happen if I will go to my security solution right now from here, one of the critical detection in this list, when it will load, will be obfuscated executable. And that will be exactly the one that I just created, just added. Now, so those are search-based detections. And in order to give you more flexibility to analyze your data, we also realize that it's not enough that we will apply some simple rules, like search-based rules, but we also would like to give you full power of an behavior analysis type of advanced detections. And we added additional column called detections, which is right now in preview. With this particular thing is basically, whatever we have here is basically more complex rules, which, as Mayer mentioned, they need some context. You cannot just search for that and return get the results and say this is it. Example I will give you, in some cases you need to analyze the behavior of user logins, and suddenly if I'm as an administrator logging in into 5 servers that I have, and then suddenly I'm just logging in into different computers that I never accessed in last year, and the behavior analysis will catch that, and you basically will have a trigger on that in the detection rules. So I will show you example here. So suspicious double extension.
Hey, Tigon, this is the thing that I was running. Yeah?
Most likely. I think this is different environment, but maybe let's see what it has been detected in this environment. So this guy detected that there was a suspicious double extension executable, and this is travelvoucher.pdf.exe. This is yet another thing that you can easily detect with those detections, that someone maybe tried to download something that it thought it's voucher of whatever travel he purchased, but it was an executable. Now, with this, I would like to also go back and show you that this, so we say that we have a security posture view, notable issues, and detection mechanism. So I have a few things that I would like to highlight here, and some of those detections, let me see, I have 2 pages of detection here. So computer, okay, so let's see. I can easily go back in 7 days and then see how was like 7 days ago, across my 7 days, how was my security posture? And then within several seconds, I will get that, the result that whether more detection will be in this view and more communication. Do you see how many malicious IP addresses scanned my environment last 7 days? This is like really interesting becomes. And then still same set of things here. Computers missing critical updates. I would like to find another one. Computer. Okay, let's go deep dive on this guy. Computer with. So this guy is giving me a view
for that particular computer, even though I came up from one notable issues. So the beauty of this view, it will list me all computers in this drop-down, and I can go one by one and understand full context what I know about this computer. And this particular view, we call it perspective. It's not only returning data from the query, but it also does additional context grabbing from other search queries to bring in front of you, so it will give you more flexibility and more information for you to understand what's going on. For in this,
time is up. Show the mobile.
Okay, so this quickly I will show this guy and I'll try to show you mobile. So this computer has this operating system. There's no real-time protection, and this, of course, because of no protection, there's no threats has been detected. But it's communicating with four malicious IP addresses. And then I can easily see how many updates are missing. So I have 118 security updates that are running missing on this computer. All security events are here also, and whoever logged in last 7 days will appear here, if anyone. Now, so in addition to that, I just quickly would like to highlight a few additional things that if you would like to stay on top of your environment and make sure that everything is up to date, we also have several solutions that are based on technology specific. For example, Active Directory, if you have, or SQL, we have SQL assessment, which will help you to analyze your SQL technology, whether it's secure or different, or based on different focus area. For example, if right now I have a security recommendation, if I will click on that, it will give me exact recommendation what I can do to improve my security of my SQL environment, and that will have a recommendation description, suggested action, which computers are affected by this guy, and also some context and link to external knowledge base article. How much time do we have, by the way?
About 5 minutes. We would like to leave time for questions.
Okay.
So I think the cool thing that we have is that if you want to be, we know that your manager might call you in the afternoon because his manager is calling him and asking him, hey, what's going on with my servers? You want to have this view up with you in the pocket. So the fact that you have this on your computer at work is nice, but you really want to have it everywhere. So what Tigran would show it to you right now is are we good?
Yeah, we're good. I'm just connecting my mobile. I would just want to show you screen of my mobile and the application that we have, which is running on all platforms. So sorry that it took a little bit time. So this is a mobile application that running on three major platforms. It's iOS, Android, and Windows. So you can access your data on the go. In fact, that you can see all your tiles of your solutions here. So security and audit solution is one of them that I was just showing. Before drilling down into that, I can show you the dashboard view. And the dashboard view, I didn't have a time to show, but imagine every search query that you have, you can have a visualization pinned to the dashboard and have a visualization on top of it. And then when your boss is calling you and while you're commuting to work or going home, or you can just go open this application and click that, that particular solution, load all your notable issues, all your detection, and continue your investigation while you're in the bus in commute. And by the time you will get there, you will have a full picture of what's going on. And we right now got a feedback that we are working on the addition of notification, pop-up notification for mobile. When something happens or some alert will happen, you will get notified. There is a sharing functionality that will also come to your to you, and that you will be able to share whatever you saw with your colleague and then let him continue investigation. Maybe you're about to board the plane and you would like to him to take over the investigation.
Yeah, it's important to note that the same, because OMS is protected by Azure Active Directory, then if your account has multi-factor authentication, you would also need a multi-factor authentication when you go to your mobile booth. So what I want you to leave with here is the call to action, and if you saw me before, you saw that I like to use this slide. So go ahead and try that yourself. You can repeat everything that we've done today. Everything that we show you is publicly available and easy to configure. So there is no black magic here. There is no stuff that you know that is available to us only because we are at Microsoft.com. It is up to you, and you can start playing with that. I usually say you don't need to take real servers. You can use your laptop and connect it just to get enough interesting information. You can take a sandbox environment. You can take something that you try in one cloud. That's the way to go, and you can start with that. And again, it's not like all or nothing. Most organizations start with small set of servers, and they move on and expand to more and more servers. So it's up to you, and you can play with that.
And can I add something to that? So yeah, how many of you have Office 365 that you guys also part? Oh, great. So well, we have some solution for you as well there, for whether it's a if you have administrative account to your tenant in Office 365, you can just with one authentication connect the data of your Office 365 to OMS, and then when data will flow within like several minutes, you will be able to see if you're adding that solution, which is in private preview. Where is that guy? Office 365, right here. So what will happen from that moment on, all activity logs will flow to your OMS, and you will be able to correlate the data between different your applications with activity from Office 365. And this view gives you ability to analyze who did what. For example, those are in last, let's say, 7 days. I would like to see what happened in the system. So what it will have, it will give me all users who were have been active in Office 365, including administrative activities, who created mailbox. For example, this is exchange activities, set mailbox, different creation or giving permission. You can track from here. And also, this enables forensic analysis as well, because if you click see filed access, there's a 23 filed access. So you can easily look at which files has been accessed by whom, and then you can basically continue your forensic investigation right from here. And this basically giving you ability to get visibility not only for the cloud and on-prem, but also SaaS solution as this one.
So the last thing we want to show you, we have a lot of content for you here in Ignite. This is a very packed slide, and again, you would be able to download the slides and you can have them. And the nice thing is that everything here is recorded. So if you come at home and you want to say, hey, I like this update, how can I run this thing? You have a deck here. We haven't mentioned it, you have all customization capabilities of OMS, how you can build your own dashboard. You have a session here. So almost every topic that we touched very briefly, have a session here that you can watch and learn, and it's up to you. It's on YouTube, so you can also download it and whatever you want to do with YouTube. So thank you very much. If you want, we would be here for a few minutes, but we also be in our booth. We have a booth in the security area in Microsoft Expo. I myself would be there at between 3 and 4.
I will be right after this session. And also, our contacts also initially on the slide. My email, tigran@microsoft.com. If you would like to learn more or do some custom presentation to your company, let us know. We from product team, we are not sales, but we will give you like the technical details and everything that you guys need. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.